Blog Talk Radio.
Let the healing begin.
show is not intended to take the place of orthodox medicine, but to work in conjunction with it. Therefore, if you need to seek medical advice, we advise that you do so. By participating in the Blog Talk Gold Ring Healing Fountain radio show, you are implying that you give permission to receive healing from Source, the universe, all that is, God, or whatever name you call the Supreme Being, by whichever vibration it comes on. For example, Eastern energies facilitate Reiki, etc. Or Western therapies may utilize the Christ angelic energies. This program is non-denominational, so the healing modality will vary depending on the guest speaker. All healing comes from the same source. It may just come on a different vibration, rather like tuning in to a different radio station. We ask that you join us with an open heart and mind, with a clear head, i.e. not under the influence of drink or recreational drugs. Everyone who lives on this earth has a mission to do. All our healers are working from a place of love and light, with the highest good of mankind and Mother Earth uppermost in heart, thought, and deed. Please relax and enjoy this co-creation. This is your time. We are in the time of now. Welcome to week 232 of the Gold Ring Healing Fountain Show. It's great to be back. And we have a lovely guest today. We have Richard Harvey, and is an author and is a founder director of Therapy and Spirituality. And he lives in the Sierra, I can't speak tonight, Sierra Nevada Mountains over there in Spain. So it really is a trans-global co-creation today, because before we bring him on, we're going to link up with Al Gary over there in America. And so we're speaking to you via the switchboard in New York. So we've got a bit of a wonky sound, but never mind. Are you there, Gary?
I'm here. Hello, John Kirby. Hello, everyone.
Hiya.
Welcome to another edition of The Healing Fountain. And yes, looking forward to this show with Richard Harvey. And It's lovely to be here. It's a gorgeous day in Oregon. It's quite lovely. However, we have more rain coming tomorrow. So we've had about 3 days of beautiful weather, and now it's going to be put away your poolside mojitos and back to the rain.
And you had enough rain to bring half a mountain down. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And there's people trapped under there. Oh, how terrible over there in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Really bad news.
Aww. Yeah, it's the Pacific Northwest, you know, and they get a lot of rainfall. And that's what makes it God's country, is all that rain. So, and sometimes people, it affects humans as well. So.
Yeah. Well, I kept thinking when it was raining here a few days ago that it's like April showers in March. But, you know, we've got to have the April showers in order to get the beautiful flowers that we get in the summer. So, mind you, this is a very damp part of the world where I am. In fact, it's so damp that all the cotton mills were set up here for that reason, because cotton works better in a very damp atmosphere. So, never mind. Good for the English complexions.
Absolutely, and keep your Mac handy.
Oh, yeah, and your wellies.
Absolutely, yes. Yes.
Anyway, as I said, we've got a really brilliant guest, and he works with the same project as our lovely guest last week, and that was Robert Meagher. And we spoke to Robert last week, but Rich is going to be telling us about the three stages of awakening, spiritual awakening. So before we bring him on, we're going to play a lovely song, a piece of music. It's from The First Light by Richard Harvey. It's called Stars, because he is a musician as well. So here we go. We'll give this one a spin. It's a lovely piece of music.
Thank you.
This is called Star, from the album First Light by Richard Harvey. Oh, and that's lovely.
That's very lovely, yes.
Beautiful.
You know, that reminds me of the guitar style, reminds me of Dickie Betts from the mm-hmm. Allman Brothers Band. I don't know if you remember him back in the 60s and 70s. He was famous for his electric guitar, but he also had some nice acoustic riffs as well, and it reminded me of Dickie Betts for some reason. Yeah,
oh,
lovely
that
piece.
Was lovely. We'll ask him when he comes on if he's heard of him. Okay, well, for the people who've just joined us, Richard is not only a musician, he's also an author, and he's the author of The Flight of Consciousness and several of the books and articles focused on realizing our true self. So I think it's time to bring him on. So are you there,
absolutely.
Richard?
Jan, Gary, hi.
Hiya.
Hello, Richard.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Right, and how long have you been playing the guitar?
Oh, the guitar. Well, I was messing around with the guitar when I was about 11 or something. I was really a drummer. I mean, I've had two careers, principally. One is what I do now,
mm-hmm.
As a psychotherapist and now spiritual teacher. And before that, though, I was a musician and a songwriter. And I started playing drums, but back in the 60s, you know, drummers were not really considered musicians. And so I took
I know
up
that.
The guitar,
I'm a drummer
so.
Myself.
So
you, know
yeah,
that,
a drummer.
You know that, Gary?
Yes.
So I switched to guitar so I could have a little bit more, you know, clout, really.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I have had the same two careers myself. So
I'm still a drummer. So.
Yeah, well, I'm still singing, still writing the songs, but... You know, I'm doing other things as well, like working and, you know, hosting the shows. And, you know, you've got to keep yourself busy, don't you, and stop your brain from seizing up. So, but you were just asking if Richard remembered a guitarist from the 60s and 70s. I think he's a bit young for that.
Who, me or Gary? No, I don't know how old you all are, but of course I remember Dickie Betts. He's the great Dickie Betts. I mean, he was a wonderful lead guitarist, and it's a matter of synchronicity for me, Gary, you brought him in, because I don't know why, but he came up on some sound system. I heard him the other day, and I just thought, wow, you know, how great he was. And I think mm-hmm. when people think of the great players from back then, we're going off on a tangent here, but it's okay, isn't it?
We always do. What's new?
When people think of the great players, you know, I mean, not everyone's heard of Dickie Betts. You've heard of Clapton and Peter Green and all those guys. But, you know, Dickie Betts really is one of the greats.
Yes.
So thanks for
yeah.
bringing him up. Thank you for the allusion with relation to my playing too, Gary. Thanks a lot.
Well, I'm an old DJ, and I played a lot of Allman Brothers back in the day. I have my roots in terrestrial radio back in those days, and somehow my mind just connected your playing and the style to Dickie Betts for some reason. So.
And of course, there's another great guitarist who's your namesake.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah,
yes.
I thought he was the Gary Moore.
Yeah.
Well, he is the Gary Moore, but...
And he's not so well known, but I mean, he's got to be great just for that riff on Whiskey in the Jar, really. I mean, it was
memorable. Yeah. In the Thin Lizzy days, of course. He crossed over, what, 3-4 years ago?
Well, you know, funny thing, he crossed over here in Andalusia, where I live.
Oh, really? Is that where he was?
And I,
yeah.
Yeah, I'd say it was 2-3 years ago. I think he was on a holiday here, so it was a matter of local news. He was, mm-hmm. you know, he died in a hotel room down here on the coast. Yeah.
Oh. Very untimely. Yes.
And it's amazing how many artists from around the world pass away in hotel rooms.
Yeah.
I mean, over here there was, in Wales not that long ago, a couple of years ago, there was an artist from America. Oh, what was his name? One of the original singers from the 60s. Brilliant vocalist. Oh, gee whiz, his name's gone out of my head. Never mind. I shall have another drink of water and see if I can remember it in a bit.
It'll come back.
It will when I say goodnight, God bless, and ta-ra.
And it'll pop right in right then. Yes.
Yeah, it will in a minute. Okay, and yeah, loads of them. And Mama Cass, she died over here in London, yeah. I think, in a hotel. Yeah, loads of them. But anyway, we all have to go somehow, don't we? And somewhere and sometime. Just mm-hmm. not now, thank you. Okay, so you're going to tell us about the three stages of awakening, aren't you, Richard?
Yeah, let me, where shall I start? I mean, I've been a psychotherapist for a long while, but I was always...
Excuse me, Jean Pitney, sorry, carry on.
Jean Pitney.
Oh, there we go.
Voice.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Sorry about that.
No, he's worth interrupting for me. He was a great voice, wasn't he?
Yeah, fantastic.
Okay.
So, spiritual awakening, the three stages of awakening.
Yeah. Let me start with a bit of background. I mean, I was, I came into therapy and what we call the new therapies in the mid-70s, came over from America, and it was a extraordinary event, really, in many people's lives. It certainly changed everything for me. And as a result of the inspiration of all of that, I found a spiritual homecoming, really, with the group of people that were here and people coming over from the States.
Mm.
And I became a therapist over a period of time and training, and it was really my calling. There were all sorts of signs to show that it was what I should be doing. And so I left music, and for a while I struggled with making a living as a therapist, but in time this happened. And for many years I was a therapist running psychospiritual groups. Therapy in those days, not in the establishment but within the humanistic psychotherapy field, was it was married to Eastern thought, really, and meditation and transpersonal practices, which we now really call psychospiritual. And and so after a while, these are the stepping stones to the three stages, really. I wrote a book called Flight of Consciousness, which you mentioned kindly, Jan, which was, this book was an attempt to answer people who were confused in the personal growth field about spirituality. And the confusion came out of the fact that really we were beginning to get too much information, I think. We started to have translations and access to scriptures and ancient writings and many, many, many different spiritual approaches. And there was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of a feeling about, is this way better than this other way? And we were getting somewhat swamped with approaches and philosophies and practices.
Mm.
I wrote Flight of Consciousness in response to the many people I was working with at that time who somehow had difficulty with concepts like higher self and Christian illusions as opposed to Buddhist illusions and all of this. And I wanted to say, look, there's many, many ways, and they all have this in common, and what they have in common are these stages, these steps, and there is variety and there's differences in the approach, but there's a certain commonality. So Flight of Consciousness is a spiritual book, and it's written with the influence of psychotherapy and the inner work I'd been doing with people, but really it aimed to answer the question you know, what is the relationship between all of these different approaches and what does it mean? So Flight of Consciousness was that, and once I'd written it, I'd been 21 years either in the personal growth movement or working as a therapist, I felt a great release, really. I put everything that I knew and everything I'd learned into the Flight of Consciousness. And then something far more refined really appeared in my consciousness, and it was this central question: what is the relationship and what's the connection between the personality, yeah, of the individual, the ego, if you will,
mm-hmm,
and spirituality? Because so many people are talking about spiritual practices, so many people are interested in transcending the ego and finding disciplines for that. And nobody, it seemed to me, as I looked around, and by this time I'd read a vast amount and understood a vast amount, had really answered this important and central question: what is actually the relationship? How do you actually connect individual personality, with all of the complexities of that, with the divine self, or with the goal, if you will, of spiritual practice? And the three stages of awakening came out of this, partly through my own experience and partly through my work with other people. And it was to say that I realized that there came a point, if you persisted in inner work, where you let go of personality in the sense that you were no longer bound to the emotional behavioral systems that were sourced in your early life.
Mm.
So all of the fears, the anger, the sadness that comes from early life, that comes from the child's state of survival, that we then bring into adult life, can be released if you persist, if you work deeply enough. And around this time, I started to work with people who were also coming through what I, in time, called the threshold of transformation. And what I noticed was this transformation that was happening to me, that was happening to people I was working with, was substantially different to what I call change. Because, you know, when you do inner work, you only have to do a little bit of inner work, really, and change can come about easily. You can have some healing and change will come about easily. You can learn to meditate and change comes about quite quickly. So this transformation wasn't change on that level. You can even have quite profound change during inner work, but one thing that I noticed is that you could also backslide. So in other words, things could change, you know, you could have euphoria for a while, but then you would revert. Mm. That change hadn't somehow stuck. It hadn't, right. You weren't grounded in it somehow. This, mm-hmm, that I was discovering with myself and people who were coming to see me, I called transformation to differentiate it, because it seemed to me it was a one-way ticket. Once you'd moved into this realm, there was no going back. It wasn't even a profound change. It was an utter transformation. And what characterized it was you no longer lived in fear, sadness or anger at the things that had predominated in your childhood. So in that sense, you transcended conditioning. And this became, in my model, what I call the second stage of awakening. And if you persist in it, it leads to the life of the heart, which I don't even in itself consider spirituality at this point. I consider it the flowering of the personality, because when I'm working with people on this level, they become more and more and more themselves.
Mm.
Their spirit shines
more
through,
and more,
but they are... Yeah?
More and more their true self, in other words.
More and more their true self, Gary, that's it. Mm-hmm. And it shines through, and they're real, and they're bright, and they're free. And they live from the heart center. So in chakra terms, they've risen into the fourth chakra, whereas you know, most of the time, you know, we're so busy and we've got so much to do, and maybe we've got families and jobs and all of this, and so therefore the first three chakras predominate. And in fact, they can predominate exclusively. There's nothing else you've got time for.
Mm-hmm.
In the second stage of awakening, your consciousness rises into the heart. And around this time, I noticed also that I felt very strongly we had a collective need to rise into the heart. That collectively, humanity is on the brink of rising into the heart, and we really need it, because when you look at the world today, it's surprising, you know, how some of the things that are going on and what's happening, you think, well, what progress did we make? I mean, in so many ways there's a lot of progress, but in so many other ways there simply isn't. It's like barbarism still. Mm-hmm. And it seemed to me that we could all share this one basic principle of moving into expression of compassion, deepening kindness, and love as a center of the world for modern humanity. You know, as we moved into the 21st century, because this was about this time that all of this was coming to light for me, it seemed that this was not just an individual event, but an event for collective mm-hmm. humanity. So I consider this work of the three stages, my role in it is to somehow speak about it, write about it, communicate it in as clear a way as possible, without mystification, without vagueness even.
Mm.
And okay. Say, look, there's this first field that you move through, and that is the field of personality and, you know, the emotional behavioral patterns of early life and survival and all this kind of thing, character and personality. And then there's this wonderful second field where you can move into the heart. Ego is still intact, but it's in service to the heart, or it's in service to love. And what you learn primarily, although there's much else I could say about it, is you learn that there is no doer in this second stage. Love is love, compassion is compassion. There's no being who doles it out, and there's no deal whereby, you know, you give it and you get something back, or anything of that kind, which you may have learned in your family in some ways as a pattern of behavior. Second stage awakening is also characterized by authenticity. You know somebody in that stage, and you may know people who are in it. And this is, after all, you know, my description. It's not something that it can certainly happen outside of my practice. It's happening to people all the time. These are the people who are absolutely authentic, and they're real, and you're attracted to them because they feel very stable and grounded and true. Third stage awakening is, I believe, not for everyone. But third stage of awakening is taking spiritual practices and discipline as the center of one's life. Everything now revolves not around the flowering of the personality in any form, but around your devotional practices, or perhaps karmic practices, to the divinity, to the divine.
Mm. So you're going to be one of the 144,000 people who have incarnated at this time, especially to bring this truth forward. Is that right? Do you believe?
I heard you say this number last
week. I say it every week because...
Last week.
And the reason I do that is because like attracts like-minded people, and I think that probably all the guests who come on the show, and many, in fact, probably all of the people who listen into the show are probably all one of the 144,000.
I got in my, I don't think I can remember it now, but I got in my, where is it? The book, a different figure. Where does the 144,000 come from?
I don't know. I keep reading about it. I keep reading about the 144,000.
Well, I'll bow to that.
I think it originally came from the Bible, as I recall. That's a biblical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In my latest book, Your Essential Self, I had cause to find a term, the cultural creatives. I don't know if you're familiar with this. It's from a book by that name. And the subtitle of that book is How 50 Million People Are Changing the World. And that's a very interesting. I think it's very similar. I mean, the number perhaps doesn't matter. We're just talking about a relatively small number, but of influential people, no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's another organization called Wisdom University that talks about the cultural creatives. And I use some of that, some of their information to put together a pitch that I put together a few years ago for a new radio format with these spiritually minded, spiritual yet not religious type of subject matter, talk radio. And I actually pitched it to CBS Radio in Boston, put together the whole package. But, yeah, it was the cultural creatives piece was used quite extensively in that piece of work they did. So, something familiar with. Mm-hmm.
Well, it sort of reminded me of Dumbalo Melchizedek when you were speaking about the heart chakra, because he, I don't know if you know anything about his work, he's always speaking about the little chamber in the heart that we go into to connect with the Creator. And so it just sort of reminded me of that.
There can't be any doubt, can there, that that we need this now, do you think? You know, that we need now to see a higher truth.
Definitely, yeah.
A greater truth than just, I don't know, you know, getting up, going to work and all of the psychobiological things that are conventional.
And the truth that the government tells you it's true, and the, you know, the religions and so forth. Yeah, there.
I think people generally have never been more awake, do you? You know, generally, even people who you wouldn't think that they're spiritually awake, they are aware that they haven't always been told the truth.
It's an interesting time, isn't it? I mean, there is also the teaching of the Kali Yuga. So, it's true that so many more people are awake, and yet there's also a darkness, don't you think?
Yes, definitely.
Yes, yes. And I found that when I awoke and continue to awaken, it's amazing how other awakened people just show up, you know, how they just come out of the woodwork from all corners of the earth, you know.
Yeah,
and I think it wasn't until I awakened that I was aware of all the darkness, to be honest.
Yeah, that's ironic and true. Because if everyone's in darkness, that's as light as it gets, you know.
Well, and as, you know, darkness is not going to go away quietly. It will continue to kick itself up and make itself known. And as more light comes in, the more the darkness is going to reveal itself. That's part of it, I think. Yeah.
And I think we're tested and tried more.
Mm-hmm. And it'll go on for a time until the darkness, you know, is gone because
when there's enough people spreading their light around the world, it won't be dark anymore, will it? So, anyway, that sounds really interesting. And your website is www.therapyandspirituality.com.
Yeah, there's two now, really. I was grateful for Robert's attention of the Sacred Attention Therapy Project last week on this show. I thought he presented it very well. I mean, that's what happened is a year ago or so, I had been wrestling. I'm not big on labels, you know, and I've been wrestling for longer than I'm going to admit to because it's embarrassing. And I eventually had settled with this Sacred Attention Therapy as a label, as a the best description I could come up for my work. Which I felt pertained to the original meaning of psychotherapy, I think Robert mentioned, which is in the Greek, attending to soul. So psychotherapy originally means attending to soul.
Oh, didn't know that.
Yeah, and somehow out of that, sacred attention kept coming back, and sacred attention therapy worked nicely because it was SAT as an acronym, and that's truth in Sanskrit. So it all kind of worked somehow. Mm-hmm. And then I had met Robert two and a half years ago, and he has been amazing in helping us to ground and progress in this idea of an international group of healers, counselors, therapists and guides who will, I hope, over the next several years produce a body of work with the three stages of awakening as background. You know, the present work that we're discussing and working on collectively is called the core elements of sacred attention therapy, and it's really all about the first stage of awakening and how you can release your attachment to personality. So, you know, that's wonderful. We have a talk every month, and then people are beginning now to produce chapters, and I hope that my publishers will smile on it in time, and it will be a book.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, you'll have to come back on and tell us all about that book when you've got that one out.
Yeah, that would be a wonderful day.
Absolutely.
We'll break open the champagne.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's amazing how you take a little step towards doing something, and then when you look back after a few months or a couple of years, you can't believe what has happened just by taking the first couple of steps, can you?
It's such a principle, isn't it? And for me, it comes from Lao Tzu. What does it take? You know, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a Taoist at heart somewhere in there, and, you know, that's a wonderful, you know, just to remember that, and it's not overwhelming then.
No, it's not.
You have a big project, you know, we've got a lot of big projects at the moment, and I just have to remember all the time. You just do a little bit, and you do a little bit every day, every week, every month, whatever it is, and you're amazed after a year, aren't you, at what
yeah,
you've produced.
Definitely.
Yeah. Totally amazing.
Mm. Anyway, we've got a lovely YouTube video that you chose. If you're ready to do that now, if you want to speak a bit longer, that's no problem.
No, let's see the video.
Okay, so I've put the link in. Well, I'm just about to put the link in the chat room, and so the Gary's going to cue you while I get over to the switchboard, aren't you, Gary? I'll just put my heart in to say I'm ready to watch it. And
okay,
it's an interesting one. It's one I've never seen before. And it's quite classical music, isn't it? But we don't get much classical music on this show. So I've Cosy Fan Tout, is it called?
I think you're pronouncing it very well, Jen.
Oh, am I? No way.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it is Italian, I would think. But I don't know. Anyway,
it's,
so
it's Irish or something. I'm not sure what it is.
Oh, yeah. Probably Irish, yeah, definitely.
Irish, Italian.
Yeah.
There you go.
So I've got the soundtrack on the switchboard, so I'm going to press play in a second when everybody gets the hearts in. So
okay,
if you want to tell them what to do, cue them with the videos, Gary. I'll cue
okay,
the music
go ahead
in a minute.
Go ahead, everyone, and click the YouTube link that's in the chat room. Pull up the player, pause the player, and mute the sound. And when you've done that, send up a heart in the chat room to let us all know that you're ready. And Jen Christie and her phenomenally amazing way will cue us all and get us all synchronized and play the video in unison.
Yeah.
And here come the hearts, and we are ready.
It's not that impressive. All I'm going to do is count you backwards. Okay,
oh,
so 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, press play.
I love how she does that. What are you talking about?
cattivo comico. Va bene, al concertato loco i due campioni di Ciprigna e di Marte mi staranno attendendo. Or senza indugio ad aggiungerli conviene. Quanti smorti e quante buffonerie! Tanto meglio per me, cadran più facilmente. Questa razza di gente la più presta a cangiarsi d'umore. Oh, poverini, per femmina giocar cento cecchini. Nel mare sorba e nell'arena semina.
Right now, it's time to light our candles. We're lighting our candles to set our intention, which is, of course, to send love, light and healing out around the world. And also, we're going to join hearts and join with the heart of the Creator and bring the light from heaven down onto earth. So I've lit my candle and the Nag Champa to purify the atmosphere and create positivity. Ready for Patricia Corey to call in the light.
Upon the angel warriors of light, the archangels, Mikael, Raphael, Gabriel, and Ariel. The ascended masters, the overlighted ones. The Christed extraplanetary and extra-dimensional beings. The inner plane ascension teams. All the light workers of the universe. Calling all angels. Calling all light beings. We ask to be encircled in an impenetrable blanket of pure white light, holding as a barrier against any energies that are not of the highest order, and serving as an ascension field of light emanating directly from Source. Let us be filled with the food of all souls, that the light be anchored within our beings and into the earth, the Great Mother. Let any energies that are not of the highest intention be transmuted or carried away as is appropriate to their evolutionary pace. Let that brilliance permeate every space, filling the heart, streaming through our divine beings. And let us be grateful for all that is perfect in the universe.
Thank you, Patricia. And now I'd like to do live and with no music, the ancient healing song taken from words that Moses used when he was praying to God for the recovery of his sister. So you can sing along if you know it. I'll just do it through a couple of times. It goes like this. Ona, Ona, Rafana, Ona, Ona, Rafana. Thank you. Now we'd like to ask Marika to do the mantra.
Happy birthday, Marika.
Yes, happy birthday.
Dearest Way Showers, I would like to ask you to take a deep breath and focus on your connection with our Mother Earth. Become aware of the fact that you're in touch with her, your feet lightly touching her, and become aware of the fact that many feet are touching her right now in all countries all over the world. Close your eyes and visualize this with me. We are all standing on her, holding each other's hands. We surround her like a giant wheel with spokes of light coming from our hearts together into the center space that lies deep within our Grandmother Earth. As we see her crystal heart and as we take this deep breath again,
We feel the beating of our heart through our bodies, and we all start to slightly move on the melody of her heartbeat as one heart. We feel this energy reaching our heart centers, and our hearts feel so warm, they're overflowing with love, and the energy you can imagine as the purest light flows to the center of the earth. And we become aware of our connection again. And we know we are all related. Mitakoye Oyasin. When the energy reaches our eyes, we feel our heads lifting a tiny bit up, and we see our Father Sky. And when we see beyond Father Sky, we see a giant brook floating in space. On the cover of the book is written, Book of Healing Requests, and the book opens. We can write down all names we would like in that book, but the first name you may write down in grace is your own name. Please go ahead and write it in there. Right now, you are a receiver of healing energy, and you may direct this energy to any human being, animal, or plant you want by writing down the names in the book. You may write them down underneath the healing fountain list that is already in there. I'll give you a little bit of time to write the names down. Please go ahead now. And when all names are written in the book, we see that the book closes and drops slightly down into the center of Mother Earth. Thank you, Mother Earth, for all the love that you give. Feel the gratitude and sit down very comfortable and be surrounded by this energy. And listen to a beautiful meditation from our special guest. Thank you very much.
To invite you to join me in the consciousness meditation, which is a journey into inner being. To begin then, please take 3 deep breaths. Breathe in fully and exhale completely. Please sit with your back, head and neck straight, vertical, but with your shoulders relaxed. Feel the seat, the cushion, and have a firm base with the soles of your feet on the floor, or cross-legged, or however you're sitting. Feel the ground. Be relaxed and alert. Let your hands be relaxed too, one inside the other in your lap. Deep breath. And exhale fully. Now I'd like you to become aware first of all of the outside phenomena. Be aware first of sound, the sounds in the room, the sounds in the environment. And having noticed sound, just retreat from it for now. Just bring yourself further in. And similarly, with sight, if your eyes are closed or half closed, allow yourself to see the visual impressions. Notice them and withdraw from them. As you withdraw, you're bringing your attention further in, further in. And do the same now for taste and smell. And for touch, you feel the pressure of the seat you're sitting and your clothes on your skin and the air on your face. Notice and withdraw, bring yourself further in. And now all of your attention is within your body. And notice first that inside your body there's many processes taking place. Breathing, the heart beating, the blood circulating, all of the different processes of the organs within the body, digestion, and all of the balancing and all of the processes that enable physical life. And I want you to notice them and just withdraw further in. 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 And notice now, if you would, thought, a stream of thinking. And I don't want you to do anything to conflict or resist the thinking. Just notice it and withdraw just now away from it and deeper in. And now would you notice even in your body there are feelings, emotions, and they're associated with different energy centers in the body. So you may have emotions in your tummy and different emotions in your heart, and further different feelings or emotions in your throat and so on. Just notice them. And notice these different areas of the inner person in terms of emotion. And as you notice them, just drop in the intention to journey further in to the center, however you visualize that, however you understand that, closer in, further in, to the very center of you. Not where you think or feel or even have a physical body, but this is a place of being. And it is entirely empty. Will you reside with me in that emptiness now? And this emptiness is also somehow a great fullness. In fact, it doesn't have concepts at all. It is the inner place of being, of profound peace and contentment, where nothing need happen, nothing need be thought or felt. It is the place of perfect balance. I would like you to spend a minute now silently, quietly, peacefully, in this deep place of profound being. Now, before we emerge, allow yourself permission to carry with you this sense of being in whatever you do. There's no reason for you to lose touch with your center. There's no reason for you to lose touch with this balanced place of being, of perfect relaxation. You can honor this place at any time when you lose yourself in activities in the world. You can stop and spend a few minutes returning to it, as we have done through the layers of experience of how it is to be a human being. Or, and in time, you can go straight to it. In time, in fact, you'll find it never left you and you don't have to leave it. It is the place of pure emptiness from which everything arises in you. So take a deep breath now. And another deep breath. Breathe out fully. Let that space of being remain with you. For some it will be a fire, for some it will be a light, for some it will be a profound emptiness, for others a deep fullness, whatever it is for you. Allow it to change sometimes. But it is real, and your life, your all of your activity, yourself, revolves around this timeless, ageless center. Return to it whenever you can. Thank you for sharing the consciousness meditation with me.
to say good night, God bless.
Oh, that was beautiful. Yes, we've got about 4 minutes left, and I want to thank you, Richard, for being on with us, and thank you, everyone,
for being with us.
Thank you. That was beautiful music by Richard called Child from the album First Light. And Jan, thank you so much. Thank you to the beings of light for being with us and people out there listening on the radio now and in archives and the people in the chat room. Thank you so much for being with us. And we'd like to see you next week for Kelly Coulter. Okay then, so Richard's website, shall we just mention that last one before we go? It's therapyandspirituality.com. www.therapyandspirituality.com. Okay, thank you once again, everybody, for being here and helping to co-create the wonderful energy. Thank you. Okay, then, we're going to say goodbye and God bless and finish with a classic. It's Bob Dylan, and he changed the face of rock and roll, so he is a classic artist. Thank you so much for requesting this one, Richard. And thanks for the beautiful meditation. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. Come back again soon.
Thank you.
Okay, then. Bye.
Bye, Gary.
And
bye, Jen.
Night. God bless everyone. Bye.
Thank you, Jen. Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
I love you all.
I do.
Down in some lone valley, in a sad, lonesome place, where the wild birds do hover, the notes to increase. Farewell, pretty Sarah, I bid ye adieu. But I dream of pretty Sarah wherever I go. There, my love, she won't have me, so I understand. She wants a freeholder who owns a house and land. I cannot maintain her with silver and gold and all of the fine things that a big house can hold. If I was a poet and could write a fine hand, I'd write my love a letter that she'd understand, and write it by the river where the waters overflow. But I dream of pretty Sarah wherever I go.
And that was the great Bob Dylan. Night, God bless everyone.